Well, thanks for listening to the Crosspoint Church podcast. We hope today's teaching is just so helpful for your life. And if you'd like more content, we have another podcast. It's called the Anything's Possible podcast. You can search it wherever you listen to your podcast. And it's just a deeper dive into content. We love to hear people's stories, what God's doing around Nashville and our church and our city. We'd love for you to be a part of that conversation. Again, you can search, like, and subscribe that as well. But let's go ahead and dive into today's teaching. Welcome to the podcast.
Crosspoint, how we doing? Good, good. It's good to be with you today. Hey, in September, I had the privilege of going with eight other people from Crosspoint halfway across the world on a mission trip. We went to Africa and served in the community of Kahuria in the country of Kenya. It was an awesome trip, and our trip specifically was pouring into leaders inside of this village and in this community, small business owners and school leaders and pastors and elders, and we just took some time to pour in to these leaders, and we spent two of our days kind of putting on a conference, essentially, giving them leadership materials that maybe they don't have access to in their country. And one of the days, our conference was set to start at 10 a.m. And in this community, they viewed time very differently than we viewed it. It wasn't so much that they were focused on being on time. They were just focused on being present in every single situation that they were in. So we got to learn a lot from them, but our time was limited as far as how much time we had to pour into them. And so on this particular day, we were set to start at 10, and they didn't arrive to where we were meeting until 11:30. We had a trip leader that was there from Kenya. He was a pastor in Kenya that was kind of helping guide our trip. That said, okay, before we get started, I'd like to teach them a little bit about being on time. And so he stepped up and he started talking to them. He said, hey, if there's 10 people involved in a meeting and one person is 5 minutes late, what's 10 times 5? You participate. What's 10 times 5? 50, that's right. He said, okay, so now we have taken 50 minutes away from all 10 people. He said, now there's 50 leaders here, and we were over an hour late. Let's just say, if there's 50 people, and everyone's 1 hour late, how many hours did we just waste? 50 hours were wasted, and he said, here's the deal. With time, we have a limited amount. It's an extremely valuable resource that we all have, and you're either spending time or you're wasting time. You're either spending time or you're wasting time. And that's honestly true for us in this culture here in America as well. And it's what I want to talk about to us today, that we are either spending time or we are wasting time. Now, that is a subjective idea as well, because we might view how we spend or waste our time differently. So I want to have a little fun together. You guys got an icon, a clock on your way in. Go ahead and locate this. Go ahead and locate this. We're going to throw a picture on the screen, and I'm going to ask you to vote on whether you think this is time well spent or time wasted. Social media, if you think this is time well spent, why don't you hold that clock in the air? Crickets. If you think it's time wasted, hold it in the air. Even if you're on the toilet. I'm just kidding. Let's move on. Time at the gym, time well spent, hold it up. Nice. Time wasted, hold it up. What if it said CrossFit? It takes perseverance at the gym. You know what else takes perseverance? Getting through that next season on Netflix. Time well spent, hold it up. Time wasted, hold it up. Nice, nice. All right, let's go on. College football. Now the team knows that I'm a diehard Alabama Crimson Tide fan. Last night was rough. Did it on purpose. That's right. Roll Tide. We still believe. We still love. College football. If you think it's time well spent, hold it up. Hold it up. Come on. If you think it's time wasted, hold it up. We'll keep praying for you. Here we go. Next one. Traffic in Nashville. How many of you think it's time well spent? Time wasted. All right. Let's redeem this. Let's Jesus juke this. My friend Scott said, hey, I got stuck in traffic going to and from work, my commute last year. He said, guess what I did? I listened to the Bible in a year, and he listened to the whole Bible. He said, time redeemed. So we just got Jesus, dude. You are either spending your time or you're wasting your time. We're in this series, Gifted. And we're talking about the fact that we've all been gifted. Now, gifted might not be a word that you use to describe yourself. When you think of the word gifted, you might think of somebody with unbelievable talent, the perfect materials or family or money. You might not look at yourself as gifted, but the truth is we've all been given this gift of time. We're all gifted. And there's some truths about the gift of time. We all have it. If you have breath in your lungs, you still have this gift of time. What else is true about time is that it's the most valuable resource. It's the most valuable gift that you can have. Some people would argue that money is the most valuable resource or the most valuable gift. But if you lose money, you can get more money back. When time's gone, it's gone. So what's in the bank account with time? It's taken away. You have less time today left than you had yesterday. Time is the most valuable resource. And also, we all have the same amount of time. We may not spend the same amount of years here on earth. That differs from person to person. But as far as measurements of time and how we choose to spend our time, each of us have the same amount of hours in a day, days in a week, weeks in a month, months in a year. We all have the same amount of time to choose how we use this gift. 2 years ago, right after Christmas, my wife and I, we had had the week off the week after Christmas, and one of the mornings I ran out to get us some breakfast. I came back, and she surprised me, letting me know she was pregnant with our first daughter. It's like, whew, okay, everything's about to change. Quickly, advice around us by people that we were close to, they're farther along in life than us, they kept telling us, Kevin, now that there's a kid in the picture, time is about to speed up like crazy. Time goes fast, and it's about to feel like it goes even faster. I want to show you a picture of our daughter now. She's 15 months old. Aww. She is so cute. Let me tell you something. The last 15 months have absolutely been the quickest 15 months of my life. And it's so true that each season of life we step into, the older we get, the faster it feels like time is going. The more our perspective starts to see, this thing really is flying. It makes me think of that verse in Psalm 90:12 that says, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. That a wise person would count the days and look at time as a measurement that we have a limited amount of. We do this really cool illustration at one of our kids' ministry events called Child Dedication. We commit to raise our children to know the truth about Jesus. And we show this illustration that as a parent, you have 936 weeks with your child from the time they are born until they graduate from high school. And so what if you took a jar with 936 marbles and every single week you just took a marble out and you started to move? You would start to see how quickly that time moves. And it puts this important principle out there that when we know what we have left, we tend to want to do more with it. So if all this is true, if time is extremely limited, if it's only getting faster, and if we can either spend our time or waste our time, how do we make sure that we choose a heart of wisdom to offer to the Lord? How do we choose to count our days? How do we make sure that we make the most of our days? The Bible tells us a whole lot about time, but I want to look in an unlikely place. As we step into the Christmas season, we start to look at the Christmas story. I want to look at the character of Joseph inside of the Christmas story because his life and his time got flipped upside down outside of his control. See, Joseph was a skilled carpenter. He probably had dreams and hopes for his business, for his life, for the community around him, the friendships. He had a love of his life in Mary that he was set to get married to. And then everything changed in an instant when Mary approached him and said, hey, I've been approached by an angel of the Lord. The Holy Spirit has conceived a child. I'm about to give birth to this child named Jesus. And he's like trying to process this. Let's jump into the text. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. Because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Here's what changed quickly about Joseph's time outside of his control. He was becoming a father, and he was asked to step in and take the responsibility of that, even though he wasn't responsible for putting the child there. It was like the angel of the Lord is almost putting a contract of like, hey, What you're about to sign on, it's an 18-year contract. Joseph knows this, so he's considering divorce because he's like, hey, this is a big-time commitment. But also, he's having to consider this because the time commitment that's being required of him requires public humiliation as well for him and for Mary. It was going to be time that might have been lost that he's spent building his business. Maybe some people in the community buck back against the business or unsure if they're going to be a part of his business. Maybe his community around him starts to question him and change. So there's time spent in public humiliation. There's also time that was spent in public danger. If you continue reading through Matthew, you see that King Herod was not all about the Messiah that was being born, and King Herod wanted this Messiah to be killed. And so Joseph had to spend time protecting Jesus, protecting Mary, and basically spending time on the run. It's believed that he spent almost 2 years running from King Herod. Again, abandoning maybe all of his normal plans and his hopes and his dreams in an instant outside of his control. And now he's running, spending time in Egypt, following where the angel of the Lord sends him. Essentially, his time was taken out of his hands, and if he would say yes to this calling, he knew it would cost him, and he knew it would change his future. But we read on at verse 24, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. He said yes to what the Lord had asked him to do, and he protected Jesus, and he did it well. In fact, he continued on. We see when Jesus is 12 and he goes disappearing, he's in the temple and Joseph and Mary are concerned because Joseph knew, like, my time is now spent protecting this boy, this son. And it wasn't just time spent protecting him. It was time spent pouring into the relationship as well. Remember, Joseph was a skilled carpenter. Well, Jesus became a carpenter later in life. I feel like to think that Joseph poured time into his son, Jesus, in that shop, teaching him how to be a carpenter. So his time's limited and it all gets flipped outside of his control. But here's the part, there's a tension inside of this story with Joseph that I really want us to kind of camp out in today. I really hadn't thought about this till this Christmas. When Jesus turns 30, his ministry begins. And this is the whole reason he came. He starts performing miracles. He starts preaching sermons. His fame, his influence begins building. And at that time, we don't see any sign of Joseph in the scriptures. We see Mary, Jesus's mother, but we don't see Joseph during that 3-year period. And in fact, at Jesus's crucifixion, it's implied that Joseph is gone, because the disciples are trying to figure out where they are going to house Mary after Jesus is gone. And I'm thinking about this, I'm like, man, Joseph's life flipped upside down by something the Lord asked him to do. It cost him his time. He said yes, so he spent his time. And really, he gave his life to this because it looks like he wasn't even around for the best part of what he poured all of his time into. Like, he said yes to the Lord, he gave his whole life to this thing, and then he didn't even get to be there to see his boy start to become the savior of the world that this angel told him his boy would be. He didn't get to be there to comfort his wife, Mary, when their son was crucified. He didn't get to be there for the final act when Jesus rose from the dead. He wasn't there firsthand to see it all. And honestly, just inside, it just feels a little bit unfair. It just feels a little bit unfair that he would give his time. And I just think about it like this, like when we give our time, it's not a normal transaction. You don't give X amount of time and receive X amount of time back. Once time's gone, it's gone. So when you're giving your time, it's not a normal transaction. And it just doesn't seem to sit right with me that the Lord would ask this of Joseph and then Joseph wouldn't be there for what seems like the best part. So I'm chewing on this earlier this week, and on Monday I had a big deadline I was working on that was due Tuesday morning. We had a short week in the office with Thanksgiving coming up. We wanted the team to be able to have time off. And so I'm working on this deadline, and my wife calls me on Monday around lunchtime, and she says, hey, her best friend's like, hey, my best friend's family's in town. They all want to go to Cheekwood tonight and see the Christmas lights. I would love it if we could go as a family. I'd love for our daughter, Haley, to be able to go. And I'm like, yes, this would be awesome, but I'm feeling the pressure of this deadline at work. And so I just tell her, I said, look, I got to be honest. I've got to get this done. I'm feeling the pressure. I'm going to do everything that I can today to complete this because I want to be there tonight. And so I'm working hard on Monday, and man, I'm feeling the pressure. And 5:15 rolls around when I'm needing to leave to head to Cheekwood, and I'm nowhere near done with this deadline that I needed to finish. Have you ever felt that pressure at work? Like you've got a deadline coming and your family is calling for you and you're having to make a decision between, am I going to do what I'm supposed to at work, or am I going to, you know, be able to sleep on the bed tonight and not the couch, you know? So I'm working on this message on time, and God's like, come on, Kevin, there's time well spent and then there's time that's wasted. I'm like, God, I know I got to get in my car. I know I got to go out there and be with my family. And so I get in the car, and I'm going to tell you, the next 30 minutes, I just let myself feel all of the anger that was built up, the pressure. And I'm talking to God about it. I'm angry at God. I'm like, God, how come, like, I worked so hard. How come you couldn't help me complete this in time? And then I'm having an imaginary conversation with my wife who's not in the passenger seat at the time, you know? I'm like, why does this have to be today, this week? And then I'm like, God, why did this deadline have to fall this week? Like, it's Thanksgiving week, and it's a short week, and normally there would be more time. And I'm angry, okay? And I'm feeling it. We get to Cheekwood. Man, we had an amazing time at Cheekwood. The truth is, the pressure inside just continues growing. Because guess what? That deadline's getting closer, and I'm not spending any time on it. I'm with my family. I'm trying my best to be present. Oh, and those moments were awesome. But so we get back home. I'm kind of wiped. I don't want to spend time on it. I'm like, I'm going to wake up early on Tuesday and get after it. Right before we fall asleep, Katie sends me pictures from Cheekwood that night. I want to show you this picture of my daughter. Yeah. That's just a picture. I wish you could have heard her. Oh, tree. Oh, we had a blast. And I almost missed it. God so kindly just let me stare at that picture and just spend some time with him. And he started to pour some truth into me, saying, Kevin, you're right. That time, you can't get it back. And you might not hit that deadline, or it might not be as good as you hoped it would, but guess what? You can't get this back either. Kevin, this is my gift to you. You're right. Giving time, it isn't a normal transaction. It's not even about giving time. You're actually investing your time. And Kevin, don't you see, when you invest your time into the things that matter, when you make the choices in the areas that matter, I've got gifts for you that are invaluable. That are invaluable. And God so kindly just starts pointing out, Kevin, let's talk about some other areas and times where you're missing these moments, where you are scrolling through social media, where you feel like you got to see the big moment in the game. Your daughter's right here. These moments are right here for you. And God so kindly let me know, Kevin, in 20 years, guess what Haley's not going to care about? She's not going to care if you hit the deadline at work. She's not going to care what your coworkers think of you. She's not going to care if you got the promotion. She's not going to care if you got the raise, if she's got the big house. These are the moments that she's going to hold on to in 20 years. And when she's gone, these are the moments that you're going to hold on to as her father. These are the moments that you'll want back. God so kindly is just pointing this out to me. Like, God, you're right. You're right. Giving our time, it isn't a normal transaction. Because really, it's an investment. And time invested has a return that is invaluable. It's just the truth. Time invested has a return that is invaluable. No, Joseph may not have been able to be there for the peak of Jesus' life. But I like to think of those moments that Joseph probably had in the shop with his boy. Those aha moments. I like to think of the conversations they probably had around the table. Those are the moments. They're the million-dollar moments in Joseph's world as a dad. The million-dollar moments in Jesus' world as a son. Those are the powerful moments. And here's the truth about us as parents. Our hope is that our kids go way further than we went. Our hope is that we invest our time in such a way that they get to stand on our shoulders. We won't want to dig a hole that they've got to climb out of. We want to propel them to go further. And you don't think Joseph's time that he invested didn't return in an invaluable way? Jesus got to stand on his shoulders and go way further. And it's even beyond the fact that it was his son. It's the fact that an angel of the Lord came to him and said, hey, you have a role in eternity. It's a very important role. And Joseph got to learn this lesson that when you invest your time into eternity, Jesus takes and multiplies the impact. He multiplies the impact. This angel of the Lord came to Joseph. He didn't say, Joseph, I need you to be the savior of the world. I need you to go way beyond what you're capable of. He said, no, I just need you to marry her. I need you to become Jesus's father. Protect him. Invest your time into this. And Jesus will multiply the impact. He's going to save the world. You're going to be a part of the world being changed by just saying yes and investing your time into eternity. I believe that's the same truth that exists for you and I today. That we have a choice with what we do with our time. And if we'll say yes and invest our time in eternity, I believe Jesus can multiply the impact even today. I think there are a few pitfalls, though, that the enemy wants us to buy into that will keep us from choosing to invest our time into eternity. I'd love to look at that in the few minutes that we have left. The first one is this. One pitfall is that I have plenty of time. Like, I'm young. I've got plenty of years left. We want to procrastinate or put it off or next season. Right now, I just want to focus on me. I want to invest some time into me. I want to care for me. I want to get what I want. I mean, you ever felt that? Yeah. My challenge back would be, you don't know that. You don't know that you have plenty of time. And not only do you not know how much time you have, but God has placed you in a season where you may have influence around other people around you. You don't know how much time they have. You don't know how many opportunities you have to pour into them before their time is up. None of us know the end of our time. So this is a pitfall the enemy gets us into to keep you from experiencing the multiplication that Jesus has for the time you invest into eternity. Another group of people, my time has passed. My time has passed. I'm too old at this point. I don't have enough years left. And I want to encourage you, if you still have breath in your lungs, you still have an impact that you can make. You're just investing in eternity. Jesus does the multiplication. You may look and say, but I made a mess of things back there. Like, you just talked about being a parent. Like, I messed things up when I was a parent. And I don't know if I can dig out of the hole that I created. What I would say is the enemy may have won that battle. Don't let him win this battle because he won that battle. Let that go and invest your time now. Invest your time now. Jesus wants to multiply it. He wants to show you that he is a redeemer, that he's not done, that you still have purpose. If you only have a day left, you still have purpose. Team of our campus pastors got to go to Chick-fil-A earlier this month. It's true, they put Holy Spirit in their chicken. We went down to headquarters. And it was super fun. It was super awesome. Here's what I did not know about Chick-fil-A. Truett Cathy, who is the founder, poured his life into the same. Chick-fil-A didn't grow till he was in his 60s. Like, it didn't actually start growing and becoming what it is today till he was in his 60s. And then it exponentially grew after his death as well. If you still got breath in your lungs, you still have time. Your time is not past. If you'll invest it into eternity, Jesus wants to multiply it. I'm too busy. This is a trap the enemy wants to get us all into. When Pastor Kevin got here 2.5 years ago and became our lead pastor, one of the things that he did right away is he offered a time of prayer every Tuesday at 11 for 1 hour, from 11 to 12. He said to our staff, hey, I want to invite you to be a part of this prayer time. No pressure. You don't have to be there. I'm not counting. I'm not taking attendance. But I think it'll impact your life. And so, man, I started coming every Tuesday at 11. And he was right. It started to impact my life. God did so much in that hour in my heart. He did so much within our team, bringing unity. He did so much about what he was pouring into the future of our ministry. It was just such a rich time. I was like, I don't want to just do that in Nashville. I want to do this in Franklin too. So it's like on Thursdays at 11, I'm gonna spend an hour praying. I grabbed one of our elders and we started praying together every Thursday at 11. And it was all awesome until about 5 or 6 months in, the enemy started to throw this sentence out there like, hey, Kevin, don't you see how busy you are right now? You're giving two of your best hours of the week to prayer that you could actually be knocking things out. And instead, you're praying. And I really just was kind of wrestling. I was wrestling with this idea of like, God, is this time well spent that I'm spending an hour praying when there's work to be done? Not to discount prayer, but there's still work that needs to be done. God so kindly started to teach me. He said, Kevin, think about it this way. With your tithe, you trust me with 10%, and I show you how faithful I am with 90%, right? That's been true in your adult life. That's been true throughout your marriage. Is that right? Yes, God. That is right. I've trusted you. You have proven faithful over and over and over again. And he said, well, what if you looked at your time the same way? If that's the case, I'm actually selling God short 5% because I'm only spending 2 hours so far in a 40-hour work week. And I'm like, wait a minute. You want me to find two more hours to spend praying? God's like, do you want me to bless the rest of it? Whew. I'm busier today than I've ever been in my entire life. There's more that's required of me today than it's ever. How many of you in the room at all of our campuses would say that right now, this season, you're busier than you've ever been in your entire life? I just want to look around the room. I mean, that's a significant amount. Here's what I can promise you. I can't run to those times of prayer fast enough. Not just at work, but now it's at home. I can't run to those times of prayer fast enough because I'm learning more and more that if I'll trust God with my time, if I'll trust him by praying, he can do more in a moment than I can do in hours of my day. He can do more in an hour than I can do throughout 40 hours in my entire week. God pours out everything that I need inside of my career. He pours out everything I need as a dad, as a husband, at home. God pours out everything I need. If the enemy's telling you you're too busy, I want to encourage you, find a pocket to pray and say, God, would you show me that if I invest my time into your eternity, that Jesus will multiply it? Would you show me that truth? Start small, 15 minutes. God, I'm going to pray for 15 minutes. I want to see you multiply it. See if God doesn't show up in an incredible way. There's a really tangible way that God has multiplied the investment of time that a group of people made, and we're actually getting to inherit the time that they spent today. See, in 2002, there was a group of around 30 people who said, you know what? We want to start a church where everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect, but with Jesus, anything's possible. And for the last 17 years, God has blessed the time spent by those 30 people, and we've been helping people find and follow Jesus at Cross Point in Nashville and around Middle Tennessee, across 5 locations now, plus our God Behind Bars, Tennessee Prison for Women, those that tune in online all around the world. We've got a 6th campus and a 7th campus on the way. Jesus multiplied the faithfulness of a few people who said, I'm gonna invest my time into this thing, and now there's a generation that's getting to stand on the shoulders of the time invested by that generation. I just want to show you something significant. In 2002, this is a picture of me. I was 12. And that's my dad, not Sammy Hagar, all right? I was 12. I didn't have a clue what God had in store for my life. And the last 5 years that have been spent here at Crosspoint, God has changed my heart, my life, my marriage, my family. And I've had the privilege of baptizing some of my best friends that I grew up with here in Franklin because there was a church where everyone was welcome because nobody's perfect and anything's possible. I have been able to stand on the shoulders of those before me and help people find and follow Jesus. And so I want to do something real quick because I want to honor a group of people. There's been a 10-year challenge that's been going around on social media. And so if you have been a part of Crosspoint, this is all of our campuses. If you've been a part of Crosspoint for 10 years or more, and you've invested your time into this house, would you just stand to your feet so that we can see and honor you? 10 years or more. There's a couple. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Thank you. Here's what's significant. That's a small amount of people. And a small amount of people linked together behind a vision and a mission that was birthed from the Lord. They invested their time into eternity. Jesus has multiplied that and then some. And so when I think about the future of Crosspoint, I think about For the One, that's what we get to be a part of. Yes, we get to help people find and follow Jesus right now with the tangible ways that we're going to grow Crosspoint in Middle Tennessee, but it's not really about us. It's really about the next generation getting to stand on our shoulders. It's about us saying, we're not gonna dig a hole for you to have to climb out of. We're gonna build a platform for you to stand on top of so you can help even more people find and follow Jesus in the next generation. I'd love to do something really uncomfortable. So that was 17 years ago that Crosspoint started, 2002. Let's go forward 17 years, 2036. Go there with me in your mind. How old are you in 2036? 2036. How old are you? How old are your kids in 2036? My daughter Haley, 18, already in 2036. How old are your grandkids? If you've got grandkids, maybe you don't have grandkids yet. I hope I don't have grandkids when Haley's 18. But how old are your grandkids in 2036? That's just 17 more years, y'all. The investment we make today is what that group gets to stand on to help more people find and follow Jesus. That's why I'm For the One. That's why I want us to consider as a church how we are going to invest the gifts that God's given us and to continue propelling this thing forward. So my friend Samson said this, you are either spending your time or you're wasting your time. The question I'd love for us to leave with today, to just be chewing on, you write this down, write it on your phone, write it in the notes on your program, take it with you, just this question. In light of eternity, am I investing my time or am I wasting my time? I would just spend some time running that filter through different areas of your life. Here at the church, with your job, with your career. Run that filter through at home, with your family, in your relationship with the Lord. It's a perspective thing. It's inviting God's perspective into this. I was talking to somebody after the first service, and they said, you know, I don't know, there's such a tension of like, I don't wanna feel like I gotta work really, really hard at work so that I can finish at 5 and then get home and do all the things for my family. It's not about accomplishing everything so you can get to the next thing, to the next. It's just a perspective thing, and just God, help me make the right choices here. Help me make the choices that count, that invest my time into eternity so that Jesus can multiply it. Because I promise you, he'll multiply the deadline at work and he'll multiply the relationship with your family and with your home life or with your friends as well, because that's what he's in the business of doing. Let's do this, all of our campuses, let's stand to our feet. I'd love to pray for us. And I just want to address one more group of people. Maybe you're here, maybe you're at one of the campuses, maybe you're at Tennessee Women or Prison for Women tonight. And Maybe you're just here because somebody asked you to be here. Maybe you're a family member that's in town for Thanksgiving. Maybe you just decided to show up today. But maybe the thing you've been wrestling with, I've got plenty of time to figure out this whole Jesus thing. And you've kind of just been putting it off and focusing on you for a while. And maybe this message today is helping remind you, you know, it's true. I don't know exactly how much time I have. None of us know exactly how much time I have. But the Bible tells us that if you'll trust in Jesus, that he'll offer you eternal life. That with the time you have now to make a decision to ask him to be Lord and Savior and forgive your sins, he will multiply eternity for your life. But the time you have to choose is the time that's allotted with the breath in your lungs here on earth. And Jesus would not want anyone to miss out. That's why he gave everything and invested all of his time for you. And so if you want to give your life to Jesus today, you might offer up a prayer like this. Let's pray. You might just say, Jesus, my time is today. I want you to be my Savior. I trust you for the forgiveness of my sins. I trust that you are who you say you are. And I give you the rest of my time here. I'm going to follow you. And God, I pray for the rest of us in the room. Holy Spirit, would you just let us wrestle that question down in light of eternity? Am I investing my time or wasting my time? Would you run that filter? Would you start to show us if there are areas of our life that we're wasting, that maybe the enemy's trapped us into getting stuck in? Maybe it's just a distraction thing. Would you show us the best use of our time? We understand that it's a valuable resource. We want to make the most of it. Jesus, help us. Multiply what we give to you. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.